Did you know the risk of cancer does not stop at the scene of a fire? Firefighters are constantly exposed to diesel exhaust fumes and other airborne toxins that get trapped inside the station. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip through the combination of MagnaGrip exhaust removal systems and AirHawk air purification systems. Learn more at MagnaGrip.com.
All right, so Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month is our monthly hump day hangout with the ISFSI crew, traditions training guys. With everything going on in Baltimore today, some of our regular crew are out paying their respects to the members there. And a horrible situation up there. But it really starts off, right, 2022 so far, it's been pretty tough for the fire service. After, you know, the last couple of years of COVID, I think that we got kind of away from some of our tactical, our on fire ground line of duty deaths. And this has really slapped us in the face at the beginning of this year with all of these things that are going on. And then to add on the Stockton firefighter, the captain who was killed with the shooting. So a lot of these things are tough, and they bring up some stuff that, you know, that we think of. We put a lot of time and effort into firefighting and that kind of thing. One of the things I don't think we spend enough time on is our heart health. February, if everybody has been following, is Heart Health Month, right? Not just for the fire service, but for everybody. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is kind of training, fitness, how you work it in. One of the things that I really want to talk about is how we can get the heart rate up and tax ourselves, but also do some basic training. So with us today, I've got quite a crowd of people here, good people that I like to talk to and get information from. We got West Coast, we got some South, we got some Midwest. So we've got it all covered, I think. Damon from San Francisco up there. Silvernail and Zeitz are sitting right next to each other with two different Zoom cameras from Missouri. We got Sean Gray joining us from Georgia. So we got a crowd here to do this. And of course, we got Bobby. Bobby, you want to say hello?
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the hangout. Thank you guys from the Instructor Society. Remember that at FDIC, the Instructor Society will be having its annual meeting, and we encourage you to go and register and become part of the society. There's tons of benefits, and obviously you get a discount at FDIC that equals the amount of money that the instructors are going to take from you. So it's a wash. So if you're registered for FDIC, there you go. So or register for the society, and then it's a wash for you when you register as a member of the society. And FDIC is open, registration's open. It's filling up fast. This year we have brought our EMS Today show, we're calling it GemsCon now, educational offerings into FDIC. So we've expanded our offerings by over 48 classes in the regular session, with additional classrooms we're able to secure. So we now have over 100 hours of CAPC certified EMS education. So for firefighters across the country that are coming to FDIC, if you're shy a few credits on your EMS certs for your paramedic license, your EMT license, you can now pick those up at FDIC. So that's a really amazing deal. One of the things we're going to be doing too, and I'll put a shout out to my buddy in Oakland, not in San Francisco, in Oakland, the fire department leading the way out there with my good buddy Reggie. So I'm throwing out a challenge to all my friends out there in the American Fire Service who think they've got a hot, well-wrapped EMS group. They think they're pretty good at EMS. Well, we're going to have the GEMS games at FDIC. The preliminaries are going to be Tuesday, and the finals are going to be Friday morning on the main stage. And I'm limiting it to 15 teams. I've already got 5 signed up, so I've got 10 slots left. And I'm challenging Oakland. I'm challenging San Antonio. I'm challenging Dallas. New York City is already in. I'm challenging DC. I'm challenging everybody out there, Baltimore, Philly, Denver, Miami-Dade, anybody out there who's got a solid EMS program, bring it on. We'll see just how good you are. Now, you only have to, it's a three-person team. They can bring four. Four is the alternate. The preliminaries do the elimination. But on Friday, the four finalists come out. We have it in on the main stage. We're going to fit 5,000 people in there to watch it. It's going to be streamed. They have, these people have been doing this. The Gems Games team has been doing this for about 15, 20 years. These games are phenomenal. It's the most phenomenal competition because they make it so real world that when they end it, the teams don't want to stop treating the actors. And it's just phenomenal. It's a great, great competition. And so it's bragging rights. Now, I don't know if Reggie Freeman can able to motivate his guys. Desmond, you might tell him that Bobby said, I don't know if he can really, you know, I don't know if he's got that skill set, you know, and I don't know that Reggie takes a challenge very well. So Bobby was running some smack that John Austin said that he didn't think Reggie would be able to get it together. That John and Bobby said, you know, but tell the boss, I'd love to see American Fire Service just really show the best of the best, because we do such an amazing job. We exist to save lives, period. I mean, if anybody else, if you're delusional about that, you know, get over it, because we exist to save lives. Ed Croker nailed it in 1902 when he said that our highest calling is when we save the handiwork of God himself. And at that moment in time, he nailed it. So as we talk today about heart health and things like that, remember that the lessons we're talking about here for us as firefighters and our heart health, we can bring those home to our families and our friends. And it's not hard to be heart healthy. It really isn't. It's basically an aerobic commitment and in a lot of ways. And obviously, there's three things you can't outrun. You can't outrun Father Time. You can't outrun the fork. And apparently, you can't outrun your reputation. So the important thing is there, the fork in time, right? And we're going to be talking more about that, but please register early for FDIC. Look at the EMS offerings. If you're just pure EMS, like if you've got a division, like in New York City, they're pretty separate. If you just want to take EMS classes, we set up GemsCon. So you can just register for the EMS classes and just take those. So if you go to gemscon.com, obviously, you can, or gems.com, you can see the registration for all the EMS separate, or you can go to FDIC and it's all contained together. But classes are filling up. We've got some really, really great hands-on stuff. It's filling up. So please register early. If you call me the second week of April and ask me to get a downtown hotel room for you, ain't happening. Oh, and I should say that someone on this call right now is going to be one of our keynoters for 2023. He's sitting right there in the audience. And I'm going to be letting the guys for 2024 know pretty soon who they're going to be. And so that'll be kind of fun. But anyway, that's happening. We've got the instructor of the year is Joe Netter out of the Boston area, and wrote a great volunteer book, a volunteer fire chief. So that'll be there. John Salka will be getting lifetime achievement. You know, we've got Frank Viscuso is going to be keynoting. We've got our two friends from Traditions Training, Dan Shaw and Doug Mitchell, will also be keynoting. And then David Page is going to be giving a speech. So the main program is going to be amazing. Can't wait to see everybody there. That's our only commercial announcement for the entire show. And then now we'll get back to regular programming.
So we're back in April, right? No more summer school.
Yeah, no more summer school. We're back to April. It's full on. It's going to be just phenomenal. The Fool's Bash is on. The Fun Run is now being run by the Cancer Firefighter Cancer Support Network. So if you want to support the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, they're now running the Fun Run. That's on Thursday night. Stop, Drop, Rock and Roll is on. The Stair Climb is on. The Fool's Bash is on. The Union Party is on. All the special events that have they're all happening. So you know, it's showtime, baby. It is rock and roll, Ayatollah.
Oh, I know everybody here is really excited about FDIC and spending April. It's a good time. You know, You know, that's my birthday, right? April 27th, just in case.
That's why we picked those dates.
Yeah.
It's the International Day of Tony.
And, yeah. Look, I'm smiling too. See that?
I taught him how to do that.
We're here to talk about training and training, and we want to work in some heart health and training. And how do we do that, right? I know growing up in the fire service, you know, the biggest emphasis on physical fitness was always when I was in recruit school. Right. You spent an hour or more of your day doing some fitness stuff. You would go out and do push-ups and pull-ups and towers and run and all that kind of stuff. And then it was really over. I think that, you know, again, unless it was a personal commitment, the job really didn't put much into physical fitness, good or bad. And, that was 30 years ago. So I know we've had a change in that, but what are we doing? What are we committed to? Most of these guys, Jim and Brian, theirs is a small operation, but they're part of a bigger place out there. So I'm sure you guys have some resources and stuff that you have available. My new place here is pretty small, and I want to know, you know, how I can work in some of the resources that you guys have into their physical fitness. So I don't care. I'm not going to go around and say, Damone, you're next. Jim, you're next. So speak up. Sean, I can see you must be in your physical fitness facility. Is that where you are?
Yeah. So we're here at our physical assessment center, right? Physical ability center. So we do a PAT test every year. It's one of our requirements for physical testing. So every firefighter, in order to stay in the field, you got to come through and go through this course that's in our background here. And this is Jeff Poe. He's our fitness coordinator. This is what he does full time. So we basically have him on staff. Like, and if you are a guy that wants to get in shape, you can call him. He'll give you a program, do all kinds of stuff for you. And this is our course that we go through every year. And Jeff's just here putting people through it throughout. And then if you're out for more than 28 days, we have a policy that says you got to come through and take this in order to go back to the field. So it's not quite a CPAT. We looked at doing a CPAT course, but we ended up building our own course that was pretty similar to our old one. And now it's indoors and state-of-the-art facility. So I thought I'd bring us over here today so we could see it.
So yep. you do a test to get onto the job. Right. Like a yep. CPAT kind of thing to get on the job. And you're saying that you do this every year. Does it then, are we grading? Do we adjust that as father time catches up to us and stuff like that? What are you looking to get out? I mean, and I guess that's what I'm, you know, what it's obviously you've got a great investment there. What is the goal of that and in your people?
Can you hear me? Yes, sir. So looking at about 10 minutes and 30 seconds is the pre-hire time for this test, this facility here. We carry that through with the recruits and then into our incumbents for the department and as a back to work also. So 10:30 is our goal time across the board.
But we came up with that time. We ran all of our firefighters through and different ages. So it doesn't, Tony, like you said, I still got to do it in 10:30. So I got to be under that. And it doesn't matter how old you get. That's the time. So we took all of the departments, put you through, or all the different age ranks and everybody else to go through from the fire chief all the way down. They come through. And then we took the average times and it went through. But I think what's our current record? It's like sub 5, right?
It is so a 10-event course, and we're looking at about a 3:22, 3 minutes and 22 seconds. Yeah. I would say during our validation last year, 2021, we had an average of somewhere around about a 6:30 for the department, which is pretty phenomenal.
It's super challenging, but yeah, some of these young guys come through like 3:22 is the time. That guy's like sprinting, he's cruising, and in the background you can see there's a hose and some weights, and you got to carry that thing on your back up and over. I mean, it's not easy. You know, I'm the average, let's just say that. I made it, I think I was like right at 6:20 or something like that, but you know, 10:30 is achievable, and it's very similar to a CPAT course. rather than standing on the step mill. That's what these steps are behind us. We have three sets of them that go throughout the course, and it's very similar to a CPAT.
So obviously, if you're requiring that, then there's some investment in making sure your people can do it. Right. Yeah. So what do? They get in time off on the, do they rotate through there on duty? What kind of arrangements or expectations do you have? What's the battalion doing for facilitating physical fitness on the job?
Yeah, that's something that again, that Jeff does. So every one of our stations has got workout equipment. And that workout equipment, you know, you're expected to be in shape, but you know, you guys know how that is with call volumes and stuff like that. Sometimes you don't get those workouts in, but yeah, you got to stay in a decent amount of shape. And every year they work it out with the battalion chiefs. So basically our chief calls us a shift before and he's like, hey, next shift, you guys are going to PAT, be ready, bring your shoes. And so we come down here, bring on the rig, drive down to the PAT facility and go through it. And so, and you know, we're trying to stay in shape on duty and make sure that everybody gets it done on duty. But that's another thing where Jeff tries to educate our people is that, you know, we definitely don't want to try to work out super hard on duty and that kind of stuff, still be ready to run calls and educate our folks on that, on elevated body temperatures, especially in the summer here in the South, gets super hot and humid. And we have issues there. So we've had people pass out on fires. And usually when they get interviewed afterwards, they're like, oh, I was just doing a CrossFit workout at the station, me and the crew. And next thing you know, we caught a fire and now I passed out. So we're trying to educate people on that kind of stuff as well.
Tony, I think Chief Halden's got a great point where he's at is, you know, you can do all the stuff at the stations, but you also got to take it home with you. You know, we spend 10 days a month at the station, but if you're not doing the right stuff on the 20 days, you're off. And you can see there Chief Halton's gym at his house. You know, I mean, it's absolutely critical that it becomes a cultural thing for people to embrace both on duty and off as a lifestyle.
Yeah, and with Chief Halton's gear right there, he's one of those guys. If you've ever seen him in the gym, that man goes for a really long time. I challenge you to get on there and work next to him on the machine.
Yeah, Sean, it's the I definitely envy you and the men and women out in Cobb County in terms of what you guys have set up for physical fitness. It says a lot about an organization in regards to its commitments to its people. You know, you look at its training, the vision in regards to its staff and personnel and what they have in line for them, and also the physical fitness component. Tony, to your point in regards to most organizations, it's unfortunate that physical fitness, at least from a mandatory perspective, starts and stops in the academy. Here in Oakland, as part of our academy training, the recruits, 6:30 in the morning, they go through some type of physical fitness. Sometimes it's a CrossFit setup, other times it's basic body weights and running. And then once they graduate from the academy, although our MOU allows 90 minutes a day for working out, it's sort of a hit or miss. But hopefully, you know, we can get to that point across the American Fire Service, or International Fire Service for that matter, to where it's a mandatory, because I always tell folks, your health is your wealth.
So I was intrigued when you were talking, Sean, and Kat, Captain, your first name, I forgot, I apologize.
I'm Jeff Poe.
Jeff. So,
firefighter.
Oh, well, you're promoted now. You're Captain Jeff now. So just, I can do that. Just kidding. So the reason I went upstairs just to show, I'm big on cardiovascular, obviously. And obviously at my age, and I'm not going to disclose what that is because us fellow septuagenarians keep that well hidden, but you know, the joints, my knees and such give me trouble when I run on the street. And so I do elliptical, and I also use it's a Total Gym. That machine you saw there it's a Total Gym Elevate system. And I really like that because it keeps me flexible. It keeps me, you know, fit in my cardiovascular. So my question to you all becomes, and I get it, there's very few folks my age that are serving in career departments, but I was curious about why there was not an age element in your fitness return to duty program, Sean or Jeff, if you want to expand on that. And I get we all have to be able to meet the same basic minimum requirements, but and as you age, though, you know, certain things do become more difficult, just irrespective of how much you attempt to fight off Father Time. He catches your ass.
10:30 at a minimum is it's a pretty gracious time. I mean, I can walk through this course in about 6:45. So the time of 10:30 is not too difficult to do. And we just haven't got to the point where we went into different categories with ages or genders or anything like that. So it's the 10:30 is the minimum standard. But and that was something that was put forward by our current public safety director, Randy Kreider. He's real big on fitness and always has been. And so it just came from the top down over probably the last 15 years we've been building this. And, you know, it used to be outside at our fire ground. It was set up and the training division would have to set it up and it was all gravel. We were dragging hoses and it was pretty brutal. And you could go on a really hot day or a really cold day because the testing's so long to get everybody through all 30 stations and 3 shifts. You know, it takes us forever to get through as a department. So you could go anytime in March when it's still cold, or you end up going in end of May when it's hot. And so that was some of the challenges. But now with our new indoor facility, it's a little bit easier. Everybody gets the same time. But we have our policy currently right now is if you fail it, you have 30 days to come back and retake it. And really they, you know, that is kind of when you set things up with Jeff, like he works with you and says, hey, you know, what was the issues? Are you having some sort of health problems and that kind of stuff? And on top of just our physical testing, we do the annual medical exams as well. And that's something we're working towards. It's not mandatory for our department. It's voluntary still at this point. So we have somewhat of a low turnout. And that's just a culture thing that is still not quite there in our department yet. You know, we have people that are fearful of it. They go to get that annual medical exam that something's going to pop up and you're going to get fired. And so they don't know anything about that HIPAA law. And so it's one of those things where, you know, we really do encourage people to go and get a medical exam, but you know, only, I think we have 800 people and we only had like 120 actually take the medical exam last year. So we're still working on that, trying to push that culture forward and get some of these people through. And hopefully we can get up close to that. And I personally think it should be mandatory, but you know, that's just my own personal opinion. You know how those go sometimes. So.
Well, screening is critical to personal health. And so I will say this, Jeff, if you'll be willing to coach me a little on that for a day ahead of time, I'll challenge Sean Gray to go head to head on that course and see how I do.
Absolutely. So, Jim, I've run with you. I know that's got a tough challenge right there. I'm going to have to train.
Jim and Brian, you guys have, again, I know you're a smaller agency. What are you guys there? Do you have a training, a place to get to do some physical fitness training in the department?
Sure. So all of our engine houses are outfitted with a pretty nice gym. I mean, it's not a Gold's or a big gym, but it's enough to where you can get enough cardio and weights in the 24-hour period that you're here. But I like the discussion about the culture, because I think you've seen a huge transition in our agency, in our industry. You know, when many of us first got on the job, you know, you'd start working out, like, what are you doing? You're just going to get a call. Why are you wasting your time? And, you know, working out was seen as something extra. It wasn't seen as part of the workday. But I think, you know, now you're seeing it as, you know, working out is actually a part of, is your job requirement, you know, and I think that is important. I think it's just a culture change that has to come from the top. And, you know, we have to embrace that because, you know, what is the number one killer on the fire, you know, the fire ground? It's cardio related. Why would we not take that, you know, seriously? But Brian,
I think same thing, culture. And I think back when I started at my previous department, I worked for a very short, short captain. He was 4'11". Everybody called him Shorty, Robert Lohr. And so, you know, I always thought he was crazy back in the day, and you're going back 21 years when I started, but after truck checks, we did PTs as a crew and he got everybody down there and we did calisthenics and all this. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, what am I doing with this guy leading me in calisthenics? And now 21 years later, I look back and like, this guy was revolutionary in the fire service to a certain degree because he embraced physical fitness as a crew level and doing it immediately following truck checks, not only got everybody engaged, but put it as the priority for the day. I mean, truck checks, then personal fitness was priority. And now if you look at most organizations, it's when does fitness happen? After training, after truck checks, it's always the secondary part of the day. It's in the afternoons, it's on your own time. It's not part of, you know, if we didn't check the trucks, everybody would be like, what are you doing? But if we don't work out because we're tired or whatever, we just say, yeah, we just blow it off. So that's part of, you know, part of the cultural change, I think, that, you know, we need to embrace. And looking back, I just think about Robert Lohr and like, wow, that guy was probably ahead of his time.
That was seen as crazy back then. You know, before you were like, what are you guys doing working out before noon? You know, you shouldn't, you know, that's not part of the work, but really, of course it is. But, and you know, another point, Tony, I think that should be made is I think it's important because a lot of our guys that get out of the Fire Academy or gals, they understand the importance of how to work out, but you know, some of them don't, you know, you need these pure fitness people in your firehouses, but you might see these guys that get, you know, they're strong as a, you know, is huge, and all they're doing is hitting the weights when really what should we really be concentrating on, you know, as firefighters, as industrial, you know, athletes, sorry for that term, I had to bring it up once, but you know, the cardio is a bigger component than that. I mean, we have the tools for the strength, right? But it's the cardio that's going to kill you on the fire ground.
So I got two things that I want to touch on that you guys have said. One of them, I think DeMond or somebody said, it starts at the top, right? And the last place that I worked, again, it wasn't a big on the job physical fitness thing. And even recruit classes, you know, that was definitely, we had some guys come through there, some captains who, I mean, you knew, right? That was what you talked about was, man, we had to run towers for so-and-so. Well, then we got a chief. Again, he came in and he was like, we're not doing any physical fitness at the training academy. When they're in rookie school, we're not doing anything, because his thing was, and he said that if they pass the CPAC, then they're obviously physically fit. So we need to use that time to teach them to be firefighters. So I can see, right? I mean, if you think about the idea, kind of makes sense. But I mean, if we're not even going to start them off right, fast forward that to he's gone, we got a new guy in, and the guy's been with the department for a long time. You know what they did? They just went out and they invested loads of money in O2X. And talk about, like, they have four people on staff from O2X. They have a trainer. They got somebody who can work out like injuries. And then they even have somebody who can help out with eating. So, I mean, that says a lot about the investment. So fast forward to my new place here. We got a grant. We got one of the AFG grants to bring in O2X. The month of March, we're bringing in O2X. So I think that's, you know, that's, again, we're going to get the return on our investment in that, right? Because it's not just about working out. It's about a mindset. It's about resiliency. It's about food, right? It's about all those things that are going to come together. And it's about the top commitment to your fitness. You know, you check out the trucks. We maintain the trucks. We got to maintain our bodies too.
Just a quick programming note for those of you who may not know what O2X is. It's a training group that was put together by Adam LaRue, and who was a commander in the United States Navy SEALs team, and Paul McCullough, who was a master chief, United States Navy SEAL, and some of their friends. And it has grown into probably one of the most elegant and refined training institutions for industrial athletes in the world, fire, police, and there's several other groups that they work with. But their training is second to none. They're great guys, dear friends of ours. They'll be at FDIC. And look around. You may have local groups that do similar stuff. And O2X is willing to consult with you and help you do all kinds of. Bryce is wonderful. Bryce works for them. He's a former firefighter out of the, I believe it's Suffolk, Virginia. A brilliant young man. And they've got tremendous resources. So I don't sell anything. I don't work for O2X. They're great people. But at FDIC, this year we have a group that actually works with the Indianapolis Fire Department, very similar group. And that group was formed out of a former professional football players who now have a group. And they'll be doing some teaching with their focus on it. So really, really great stuff. And what they focus on with the folks in Indianapolis is injury prevention. In other words, you go through their program before you get hurt, right? So it's all about avoiding being injured. And I think when we talk about workouts, it's interesting how words affect people, right? And I know Sean's head's going to explode because Halton's going to be talking about neurolinguistic programming here, but I'm not going to go there, Sean, I promise you. But Desmond knows too, how we frame something, how we say something really matters. And so, you know, flexibility, stretching, or, you know, if you call it a workout, everybody thinks, you know, you're going to be there with some guy grunting and spotting you and all that good stuff, you know, silver nail body waxing in the mirrors, taking, you know, pit plucking his body hairs off. So, but the, you know, really when you talk to a guy like, and I'm sure Jeff can back me up on this, it's really about flexibility. It's about mobility. It's about endurance. It's about all the things that really matter in life. And it's great. If you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, back when he was a kid, or The Rock, when you take off your shirt, good for you. You know what I mean? And I'm not putting down the big, you know, the seriously tough guys, because they can get you out of a lot of jams. I mean, it's nice to have a big, strong, you know, firefighter working with you. But, you know, to Tony's point earlier and Jim's point, endurance. Firefighting is a marathon. It's not a sprint. When you're on the fire ground, you know, we get some of those campaign fires. You gotta be able to last. If you're spent in 30 seconds or 2 minutes, you're not much use on the fire ground. I was a combat challenge winner back in 95, obviously not recent, in 95, put that in context, right? So in 95, I did the combat challenge. And that's a great event. But it's very episodic, right? It's really fast. And it's much faster than when I did it. Today I would be in slow motion compared to the men and women doing it today. But in 95, I did okay. So we're getting a ton of stuff from Pete and the folks out on Facebook. I don't know, Damon, if you want to pull up some of that stuff that we're getting, because it's
sure.
Some really great stuff from Don and Lincoln.
Sure, just a couple comments from the chat. Amen, training should be geared for recovery on shift days. If workouts are negatively impacting our performance on the fire ground, you know, we're missing the point. And then Chief Halton and Tony, to your point, when I first came to this organization here in Oakland, especially with our probationary firefighters, it was emphasized that you are on probation. Working out is not part of your daily responsibilities. Now, fortunately, we have graduated past that thought. And Pete Hoffman, you mentioned, you know, words mean something. And I tell folks, don't look at it as a workout. Look at it as part of your responsibility as a professional firefighter, whether it's pulling hose, throwing ground ladders, doing search and rescue training exercises, working out, or some type of physical fitness is part of your responsibilities as a professional firefighter. Another comment from Lincoln: I'm 100% behind physical fitness for all firefighters, but we have to be conscious of those that will take it too far and start using supplements and steroids. Point well taken, Lincoln. Back over to you, Tony. Chief.
That was so, well said. And just one other thing, just to dovetail with Damon, not only. Doing some physical activity does wonderful things for us emotionally as well. And Sean and I both love to do our aerobics. And Sean can back me up on this, but think of all the wonderful stuff that you've thought about when you're doing your aerobic workout, you know, and you're running or you're on the trail. I keep a pad right by my elliptical, and because it gets blood flowing in your brain as well. And then I've got a lot of friends that use that time to pray and connect spiritually. And I think that's really important too. And you know, for those of us that are believers, that's just as important a workout every day as everything else that we do. You know, you check that as well. You better check that box every day as well. So, which really keeps me connected. So I think that there's other stuff that we do and how we frame it for our folks. You know, if you say, oh, everybody's got to go down and, you know, so you end up looking like, you know, Captain America, Tony Carroll there with, you know, bulging biceps and such, you know, that's not the end point. Really, I'll bet if Jeff, you know, could help us here, it's probably what, as a trainer for, you know, Cobb County, which is a gigantic organization, you know, you're 600 people or whatever you are now, 700 people, that's what he's looking for. I mean, upper body strength is wonderful. overall conditioning is the goal, I think.
Let's talk about some of that. Let's take it from physical fitness training and take it to fire training, right? Because again, one of the things I threw out there in the idea was we know how the basics, right? Firefighter survival starts with basics, and we have to be able to do those basics all the time. When we just get on the fire ground and we haven't got our heart racing yet, to when our heart is really racing. What I've known, again, from reading and even from actual experience, right, is as that heart rate gets up, our focus gets narrow, right? Our ability to do things gets less. So how do we get over that? Because when I've resiliency training and things like that, we want to train in that heart rate zone that gets that heart rate up so that we're able to do the basics, right, without thinking. And kind of what I'm going to, let me share my screen here. You guys have all read the On Combat books. And here is some ideas here, right? So speaking of the On Combat guy, right? This is from Dave Grossman. This is from Dave Grossman's book. And we know that as our heart rate increases, right, the bottom line here, low to high, our performance can change. So as our heart rate is really low in that conditioned white, we're talking, you know, less than 100 beats per minute, our performance is good, right? Our performances can be good. And then as we start to, our heart rate starts to go up, and then we get to a certain point, it can drop off. So we want to be able to train, right? We want to be able to train in this higher kind of elevated heart rate, so that we're ready when things go bad on the fire ground, that we can still be able to do those basic skills. So I'd be interested with Sean and Jeff down there. You know, how are we getting up to that? Are you doing that? Is that something you've thought about in your training? Is how can we get our members in that zone? You know, in this red, almost gray zone, so that when the unconscious skills need to be done, right, whether it's taking off our SCBA, reduced profile because we're trying to get out, whether it's a ladder escape out a window, that we can still do these things because this is going to happen. Again, to review, right, 60 beats per minute to 90, we have normal resting heart rate. As we get above that, our fine motor skills start to deteriorate. As we get above that, our complex motor skills deteriorate. As we get above 150, now we're talking about tunnel vision, loss of depth perception. We get that auditory exclusion. And then above that, which again, we've all been to these places, and you probably had these things. You get that irrational fight or flee reaction. You get that freezing reaction. Hopefully you haven't got the voiding of bladder and bowel, but these things happen. How can we get our people prepared for these once in a lifetime or these really bad situations and get them training in that level? Is that something that you do? Is it something you've thought of?
Yeah. So I think, you know, Tony, down going back to what you're saying there, as far as getting people at the heart rate. So we have a lot of people that believe in getting in their gear and working out in their gear, right? And setting up like an obstacle course at the station and flipping tires and all that kind of stuff in their gear, maybe with an air pack on. And yes, certainly that's going to get your heart rate up. But the things that they don't understand and really need to educate themselves is that when your heart rate goes up, so does your internal body core temperature. And so when it's encapsulated in that turnout gear, that becomes an issue because the turnout gear really doesn't breathe all that well. So if our internal body core temperature goes up, and Denise Smith would love me right now, Bobby, but the internal body core temperature goes up, that causes issues, right? And so I'm going to just tell you guys, we had a line of duty death here. We're coming up on the fourth anniversary of it. And Stacy Bulware, she's 44 years old. She actually came down and did the course that you see here behind me, or actually the old course then. And just normal, went back to the station. And then she ran a couple calls in full gear after coming and doing the PAT test. Now, in Stacy's case, we didn't have the medical exams in place then. And that was something that we did as a department after she unfortunately perished on duty from cardiac arrest, was that we put in these annual medical exams because Stacy had a blockage in her arteries and it could have been caught by a medical exam and it was missed. And so, and, you know, that's really one of the things in honor of her, why we want people to get these medical exams, because at just as Jim mentioned earlier, you know, you have the line of duty deaths. That's our number one line of duty death cause. And so while we're not very old department, we've only been around 51 years. We've had 3 line of duty deaths and all of them were medical related, cardiac related. And we're just not willing to do that anymore. That's something we're trying to eliminate here in Cobb County. And it also, you know, comes down to diet and exercise. And as Bobby was saying earlier, when you're a skinny kid like me, I've had all the big buff guys, you know, give me crap for being skinny my whole career. But at the same time, I say to them, I'm like, okay, well, when you're out of air and your bottles and your bells ring and you're out in the front yard, I'm still inside working. And so they're always like, oh, I'll have to be so strong to drag you out. And it's like, well, you actually still have to be able to be inside with me. I'm still breathing my air. So, you know, it is a challenge. I think there's a best of both worlds there. You know, you definitely have to be strong enough to still be able to do the job and throw ladders and be able to still handle the weight of the equipment. But at the same time, I think the cardiovascular stuff comes in. And to your point, Tony, with the heart rate stuff, you know, Grossman, that's a huge piece. So, you know, we have the David Rhodes and his Georgia Smoke Diver program here. Tons of Cobb County firefighters are Georgia Smoke Divers. And that's something that we see a lot of, because to go spend a week at Georgia Smoke Diver, you're in your gear the whole time. So we have people that are working out in their gear at the stations, constantly trying to train. A lot of young guys training to go to this Georgia Smoke Diver program. And it's a survivability program. You know, that's what you're learning to do, firefighter survival. But, you know, it becomes a challenge for us as well, because some of the young guys aren't educated on that internal body core temperature going up. And, you know, and in Stacy's case, you know, we find that she had some her wearing her gear on those 2 calls. You know, she did. She went to a car accident and was wearing full turnout gear out on the interstate, and then immediately left there and went and did chest compressions and did CPR, and then got back to the station and had her episode and started having chest pain. And she arrested at the station while our paramedics were working on her. So, you know, it's tragic. And we think that there were some things that day that led up to that. And you have to think that internal body core temperature and her in her gear and the fact that she came here and did the PAT course in the morning, all those were factors that led up to that. And all of it could have been prevented from that annual medical exam.
And also real quick too, just while we're talking about this, check out LifeScan, the Todd Ledoux down in Florida, the Florida Firefighter Health and Safety Initiative. They've done tremendous work, and that's a full body scan, and they can look for tumors. They can look for heart issues. It's non-invasive. It's very quick. It's something that I think, you know, all firefighters should be aware of. That's available out there. If you're not aware of the Florida Firefighter Initiative, Todd Ledoux he'll be at FDIC. He's also online, all kinds of great stuff. Please check them out. So there's all kinds of ways to, you know, it's not people sticking you with needles and, you know, you walking around with a gown that shows your behind on the backside. It can be as simple as laying on a table and somebody's basically, it's an ultrasound. It's an ultrasound for your primary organs. It's you know, if you can get your organization to support that, man, it's a free medical exam. You know, it's a wonderful thing. And also, I should mention, you might want to contact those of you who are listening. We're talking about health and wellness here. The folks in Indianapolis recently were able to get through their legislature a bill that protects firefighters' mental health and health records from disclosure in the event of some kind of incident, so to speak. So. Contact the IAFF representative at Indianapolis and get more information about that. Contact Todd Ledoux about LifeScan. But, you know, the other thing I wanted to touch on, because I think this is a wonderful topic, is GIGO. And that's an old computer term from back in the 90s. And it used to mean garbage in, garbage out. And we used to do computer stuff with punch cards. So you had to do punch cards in order to make the computers work, which is going way back. Probably most people on the call are going, what the hell is he talking about? But that's how we learned computer language, was through punch cards. And if you put in bad information, you got bad information out. And a lot of that has to do with our diets. So, you know, oftentimes the first step you can take to helping somebody have better cardiovascular health, seriously, is, you know, some greens in your diet and some fruit in your diet. I know Brent Hollander's head's exploding right now, Sean, because he's diametrically opposed. Oh, and by the way, there's also the Oklahoma Smoke Divers, which was a school that was founded by the Georgia guys here in Oklahoma. So you got Smoke Diver Schools out here in Oklahoma. It's a great school, and we got a class coming up. So if you're on this side of the country where the good people live, you can sign up out here. I'm just teasing. I love Atlanta. I absolutely love it. But you know what I mean? You don't have to travel that far. If you're a Texas, Oklahoma, you know, Kansas, Missouri guy or gal, come down here and take it with us. The food's better. So anyway, just teasing. But so GIGO is important. Seriously, what you eat, you know, you are, they, a lot of people say you are what you eat, right? So if you're eating nothing, and I'll, full disclosure, that there's no limits to my hypocrisy. I'm a chocolateholic. I eat ice cream constantly, cupcake. You put anything sweet in front of me and it'll disappear because that's who I am. And at my age, it doesn't matter much because I don't have much time left. But for the rest of you, you know, pay more attention.
Chief, my computer history starts with the 3.5 and the 5.25 floppy drive. So I don't know if that's, yeah. But to Sean's point, regard, first of all, you know, my condolence to that line of duty death. About 10, 11 years ago out here in California, Lieutenant Kevin Reed, he had worked 3 days in a row, 3 to 4 days in a row. Next day, he was off duty. He had a fire that last shift, off duty, went to the gym, worked out, had a underlying heart condition. Unfortunately, he passed away. One of the things I challenge my folks out here, you know, we have the pomp and circumstance, we have the funerals and the aftermath and the party and the celebration of life. But the most important thing that we can do for those individuals, whether they died as a result of a medical condition or structural collapse, flash over, wherever the case may be, is to learn from that event or an incident and make changes in your organizations in hopes of reducing that or totally preventing that from happening again.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely need to do that. And that's kind of what I'm trying to touch on here with the elevated heart rate, right? The basic stuff, we can do the basics when our heart rate's nice and low, but how do we train to get ready to do that when we're in max heart rate?
The guys with drilling at the speed of flashover kind of are addressing that in some ways. The resiliency guys, Rick George and his team are doing some of that. I think folks are looking at it. The caveat to that, Tony, just to, before we all start chiming in here, is it's very high risk stuff. It's very high risk stuff. So you really want to have a medical team standing by. You want everybody participating, having been screened. When you start doing that high risk resiliency stuff, you have to really pay attention. And smoke divers are the gold standard for paying attention when they do that stuff.
Hey, Tony, this is another comment from the audience. It's from Lincoln. The body core temperature, sweating, and dehydration issues are huge because they can thicken the blood, causing potential clots and other problems.
Rehabdo.
Directly affects.
The medical term is called rehabdo.
Rehabdo.
Yeah, that rhabdomyolysis. And actually, if you talk to the training chief of FDNY right now, our friend Frank Lee, that's something he's currently digging into because they just had a line of duty death as a result of rhabdo. And they, you know, and this kid was somebody who was like super fit, top of the class, and just really tragic. And that's where, you know, that you mentioned the same thing about the thickening of the blood is that I think some of these young guys, they think they're invincible, right? So even after academy and they go home for the day and they're like, oh, you know, I got to go home and do some curls for the girls, right? And so they get in the mirror and they sit and they work out a little bit and they think that they're fine because but then they come back the next day and they get hammered again. Then they do PT and then it's a day of throwing ladders all day or, you know, something that's very challenging working in gear. And then that you end up, you know, ended up in rhabdo. And we've had plenty of recruits that have rhabdo and have even spent a little time in the hospital from it. But fortunately, we haven't had a line of duty death. And I know that that's something that, you know, Frank Lieb is really trying to look at right now because he's a type of guy that when something happens like that in something that he's over, he's going to try to prevent that from ever happening again.
Damon, would you read the comment from Don Ringgale? That's a great comment. And Don, if you'd like to attend FDIC, we'd like to extend you a guest pass for 2022 just for that comment, because I agree with you wholeheartedly.
So, audience, this comment's from Don. I am not convinced by the argument that you need to be strong enough to self-rescue a downed firefighter. Research suggests it takes approximately 6 firefighters to rescue one. If you are strong enough to do that alone, awesome. But I would not expect it to be the norm. Thank you, Don.
And Don, I'm serious. Contact me and we'll put you on the comp list. I'll get you.
Yeah, Don, that's card. You're a big winner, man. That's a great thing he's extending to you there. And definitely take him up on that, Don.
So, it's also a courageous comment that he made, too.
Yeah. We definitely know the studies that talk about that stuff, right? And I guess the best way to prevent that from happening is Mayday prevention, right? And that's kind of what we're talking about with some of this heart stuff. Because, again, the research or the line of duty death statistics show that we had 27 firefighters die of some sudden cardiac event last year. So 27, and that's still, again, while we had last year was a really bad year when we count the COVID deaths, 27. And for the longest time, right, it was the white elephant in the room that we really didn't want to talk about. And I think that with O2X, with Dan, right, with Dan Kerrigan and Jim Moss, with what they did, the functional fitness stuff. We have Aaron Zamzo up in Milwaukee area who's doing some stuff. There's been a lot of fire service training groups that have brought out some of these things and talked about them. And I think that's kind of changed the direction. And we're seeing that 27 is way too much, right? 27 line of duty deaths for the cardio is too high. Again, I mean, if we had 5 line of duty deaths from people falling through roofs, we would stop doing vertical ventilation. We would stop doing it. But for some reason, we get all these cardiovascular or these heart attacks. We don't make a big change. So that's what we need to be focused on. And Heart Health Month is a great time to bring that up. So, Jim, Brian, you guys haven't talked much. What are you doing to help them?
Well, I just want to make one comment. You know, we talked about, you know, evaluating everybody, which is absolutely important. If you are always gauging that I'm never going to have a cardiac problem, you are really rolling the dice on your fire ground. You know, I always ask in a room when I teach tactics and strategies, like, who here has a RIT team at every fire? Everybody raises their hand because, you know, you don't want to be that guy in a room that says, no, I don't do that. But then you ask them, how many of you actually have an ALS-ready ambulance at every one of your fire grounds? About half the hands go up. And it's like, well, if you look at the state, nothing against RIP because it absolutely is essential. But that ambulance is just as essential if you look at the facts of what, you know, what people are dying of. And you say to yourself, well, I can't spare the staffing to make that happen. Well, that's for your people. If you're saying your people aren't that important to you, you know, you have to make an effort to get that ambulance there. Let me tell you something. That's fire ground discipline, because usually in our system, those are the young guys on the ambulance. I don't want to be doing the ambulance thing. I want to be doing the fire thing. Well, your function on the fire ground is just as important as one of the other functions on the fire ground. But, you know, I just wanted to bring that up while we were all talking about, you know, the line of duty deaths and what happens on our fire grounds.
So think about this, too. 27 line of duty deaths from cardiovascular last year. Do you know that for every one of those line of duty deaths, there are between 17 and 25 close calls every year? Again, right, throughout the whole country, there are 17 to 25 cardiovascular accidents that didn't kill somebody, but they were close calls in the fire service. So 27 times 25, that's how many firefighters we had last year have some kind of a cardiac event that may have crippled them, put them off the job, definitely gave them some time off. And most of those, right, there's some underlying conditions. So Sean, to you guys that haven't yet, I mean, that's the next thing, right? You need to require those fitness exams, the medical physicals. Bobby, you talk about life scan. We're doing that here. In fact, life scans now, my results from my recent life scan and the full body scan has taken me to some other specialists to try and find some things that they found in the life scan. So again, never before and no other physical that I've had in the fire service has done that. So it's taken me down those paths. And it's one of the things that I think that, you know, we can't do without now. Now that we've done it, I mean, we definitely can't go away from that.
Tony, I was just going to bring up, you know, so we'd talk for an hour here and it's good, all great stuff. But I just want to speak to maybe the guy that's not at a big city department or a volunteer in American Fire Service, because that's a large chunk of this of the industry is the volunteer fire service that, you know, may, you know, have a Butler building with two trucks and not have access to O2X or, you know, their budget spent on FDIC sending two guys and that sort of thing. So, you know, what can they do? Because this, if you listen to this and you listen to all this stuff and it's great, it can seem overwhelming and you know, probably daunting at best for a training officer, a chief to do something. So, you know, I always tell people this is just do something, you know, do one thing today, whether, like, you know, Chief Alden was saying, you know, eat some greens. You know, if you're a volunteer and you get home from work and instead of grabbing a cold beer, maybe grab a glass of water and go for a walk, you know, do some push-ups, do some sit-ups, do some stretching, you know, wake up 30 minutes early and, you know, do a run, you know, build upon what you can. If you can't, you know, if your organization doesn't afford those opportunities to have all the amenities that, you know, people on this call that we're afforded to. So I just speak to that, you know, it's not as daunting and challenging if we just start small and build upon the small things, the small building blocks, and, you know, just do something today to make yourself heart healthier, and then do something tomorrow to build yourself heart healthier and do that for the whole month. And then at the end of the month of February, guess what? You know, now you've changed your culture and your body and your lifestyle and, you know, take that somebody else.
Yeah. And Chief Halton put something up in the chat about mentioning removing gear from a downed firefighter. So we do that technique, and I'm no expert on it, Chief, but it's a two-person job. We try to get that coat off and to get the chest exposed. And I'm going to give a shout out to District Chief Walt Lewis down there in Orlando. As we know, friend of ours from FDIC, he's got a fire engineering training minutes video on that actual technique. And you can look at it, you can find it on fireengineering.com and just type in removing gear from a downed firefighter and you'll find Walt Lewis did a training minutes on it. It's about a 5-minute video. It'll show you exactly what we're talking about. But every one of our firefighters, when they go through recruit school, we have a group of instructors that come through and show you how to do the down removing gear.
And guys, come on. We did a Mayday Monday on this.
Perfect.
I'll do some research and post that, but absolutely. Heart Health Month. You remember my friend, Kevin McCray, a DC guy who died of a massive heart attack. His line of duty death anniversary is in May. So if you look for a Mayday Monday from last year, it does. It takes you through the firefighter CPR stuff. Because, again, 27 line of duty deaths, times that by 25, we had a bunch of near misses. So there's probably a better chance. It's unfortunate, right? There's a better chance that someone's going to die on a fire ground of a heart attack than it is of any other thing that we're doing on the fire ground.
Absolutely.
Hey, I apologize, everybody. You guys can keep going. I've got a bail. I have a FDIC meeting to jump on, and another shameless plug. But all of these gentlemen, Damond, you're the only one I don't know is teaching at FDIC this year. So other than the slacker from Oakland, which will be corrected in 2023, right, Chief? Okay, good. Correct answer there. I look forward to seeing you all there. And I want to say thank you to Tony and the Instructor Society. This is a great topic. Please keep it going. And please register for FDIC early. Please take me seriously about my GEMS Games challenge. I hope some of the folks out there who are medics, you could have two medics and an EMT. You could have three medics. You could have any combination you want. But it is an ALS level challenge. You know, if you want to find out who the best medics on the street are, bring it on. Let's go. And please, you know, I know, Jim, you're a fire chief, and you can muster your own team. But to those of us who have to, you know, manage our bosses, please, you know, try to encourage your boss to take a look at it. You know, it could be bragging rights for your organization. If nothing else, it's a great educational opportunity for the teams, because they're only going to be tied up on Tuesday afternoon for the prelim and then Friday morning to do the final competition. But otherwise, they can avail themselves of the hands-on training. They can avail themselves of all the conference, the exhibits, all of that. So we set it up so that it didn't, you know, take away from their ability to participate fully in the conference. And to all of you who are teaching and who are writing for us, and you know, I don't get to thank you guys enough, especially, you know, people like Jim, who's got several great books with us and is working on a new one. And he's got an incredible article coming out in the April magazine, if we can find paper. And Sean has always been a tremendous contributor. Brian's, you know, everybody on this call, Tony with his monthly shows and his May Days, Tony's just been all of you are just such an incredible blessing. And I know I don't get a chance to say thank you enough, but sincerely, you are some of the finest firefighters I've ever known. And really are just, you're always willing to go above and beyond for this incredible profession. And I hope folks understand that this is not hollow praise. All of you are just in a class of your own. And I don't know how to say thank you, but thank you from the bottom of my heart, and on behalf of all the folks who've benefited from your things you've written and the things you've said, and truly the way you lead. And on that note, I will say, after all this chatter, I better see all of you guys at the 5K Fun Run on Thursday, or trust me, there'll be a follow-up to this conversation. So I love you all. God bless. And I'll see you all soon.
All right. Nice. Nice. Hey, thank you, Bobby. Maybe I'll see you later today.
Yes, sir. You will.
Guys, we have been on here for an hour, so let's wrap this thing up. I know we can keep going, because this is important. The heart health is important. It's not just 1 month a year, right? It should be all year long. But Sean, you and Jeff up there, just wrap up one last thing you want to get out about heart health, how we can maintain fitness, and your importance that you think we have.
Yeah. So real quick, Bill Carey put a comment in there and he said, remove COVID and the cardiac deaths account for 35% of 2021's on duty deaths. And as you guys know, Bill's an awesome statistician for us with that. And so think about that 35% line of duty deaths being cardiac related. That's a big number, but I'm going to let Jeff wrap that up on what we can do to make ourselves better.
Yes, sir. I'd like to recommend we're getting paid, which is on duty to exercise. If we find time to exercise, we're getting paid for that exercise. So that's pretty awesome. Look into, I like to break it down to 30 minutes a day. If you can find 5 days a week and break it down to 30 minutes. I know the American College of Sports and Medicine looks into 150 minutes of cardiovascular exercise in a week. So if you can find those 30 minutes, 5 days a week, there's your 150 minutes of exercise. And it simply just get your heart rate into that target heart rate zone. It doesn't have to be at a maximal heart rate during that 30 minutes. Just keep it simple. Let those workouts, you know, after consistency, a good couple of weeks of those 150 minutes in a week, you're going to find where you're going to start including more strengthening exercises, you know, more interval training. But we have to find that consistency in the job that we do. And if you challenge yourself every day to get in there and do a little something, it's going to make a big difference for your heart.
Yeah. And, right. And while he did say we're getting paid, and Brian mentioned earlier, most of our fire services volunteer. So, you know, just, and he also said the basic thing is just do something, right? Just do something to kind of do something different, right? Don't do the same thing, do something different. That'll get you something different for your heart to experience and keep you healthy. with that, Brian, Jim, some last words, last thoughts?
I think it all has to do with the attitude, you know. It's got to be ingrained that this is part of our jobs. You know, I hate using the cliche, but it's a great, you know, term, and that's industrial athlete. Is, you know, that's so true. And it is a part of our job, and we have to keep it that way.
Yeah, I just dovetail on that. You know, the most important asset in the firehouse is your people. So make sure we're taking care of those people.
Damon, some words of wisdom from the West Coast.
Start or continue to make it a way of life. That's it.
All right, just we'll wrap it up, and thank you all you guys. I really appreciate you coming out today. One last thought should be about the Baltimore firefighters who are they're honoring today. Again, their funerals are, you know, they're getting laid to rest later on, but today is a big memorial service. So spend a little bit of time thinking about that, thinking about what they went through, and learn from their sacrifice. And with that, that was our monthly hump day hangout with the ISFSI crew. I appreciate you all coming, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you, guys.